Last week we were discussing the order by which the Achris Hayamim is going to happen. Mashiach versus Gog and Magog versus the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And we said that we know, at the end of the day, we know very little bit about it. There's not much that we can say for sure. If people were disappointed by that, this week I'm happy to note they'll probably be more disappointed, because we don't know much about Mashiach either, but there are certain parameters. I'm not here to announce who the Mashiach is. I'm not here to announce my candidacy. Oh, we have some, we're taking volunteers. That's it. So but I want to give the general parameters, the general rules as are set forward. The key source when it comes to the description of Mashiach is in Sefer Yeshaya. Yeshaya, at the beginning of the 11th parak, it's the Haftorah for the last day of Pesach in Chutz Laaretz. It says, "Vayotzei Chotem Yigaza Yishai V'Netzer Mishar Sov Yefrem," and suddenly a shoot will come out of from the descendants of Yishai, meaning the descendants of David. "V'Nachal of Ruach Adonai Ruach Chachma Uvina Ruach Eitzo Gvura Ruach Das V'Yiras Adonai." This person will be exceptionally bright. He will have chachma, bina, das, not pushing one candidate by saying chachma, bina, vadas, but in fact, he'll have both book knowledge, practical knowledge, etc. He will have the intellectual capacity to be the Mashiach. Ve'hericho b'yiras adonai v'rolomar ein of yishbot v'rolom mishva oznav yochiach. And he will be able to detect Yiras Hashem. He will be able to detect the fear of God through his sense of smell. In order to judge cases, he will not have to see the case. He will not have to hear the case. But he will have this sixth sense that he can paskin with his nose, shall we say. And with that, v'shofa b'tzedek dalim v'ochiyot b'misho alam v'tzedek v'hika eretz b'shev v'piv v'rosa savya misrasha. And just by his speech, he'll be able to kill people. He will help out the downtrodden. He will bring justice to the world. That is the Mashiach as we explain it. Again, he gives you a general outline, a general description about what the person is. It is clear that it has to be Migeza Yishai. It has to be from the sons of Yishai. We don't understand it's not just any descendant of Yishai. Yishai had many sons, but specifically from David. In fact, if you look at the Brisker Rav, the Brisker Rav says not only does he have to be a descendant of David, but he also has to be a descendant of Shlomo. So again, that narrows it down a little bit more. And that person will be of a certain stature, a certain capability, and that person will be Mashiach. What will the Mashiach do? Will he bring peace and justice to the world? That's what the Pesukim say. The Gemara in Sanhedrin in Parak Chelek is the last Parak of Sanhedrin. It's called Parakletot because it begins by saying, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lehem Chelek Olam Haba. It talks about the fact that all Jews have a portion in the world to come, and it takes the opportunity to discuss end of world, end of time type things. So most of you are going to find about Mashiach, you'll find there. The Gemara asked an interesting question. They said, what is the Mashiach's name? And believe it or not, this is a machlokas. The first opinion is that his name is Shiloh. Another possibility, his name is Yinun. Maybe his name is Hanina. One of the possibilities, right? I don't know why people assume this is the one that is accepted, is that his name is Menachem. That is one of the possibilities that we have in the Gemara. It's interesting, that's the Bavli. The Yerushalmi suggests that, what is his name? The Yerushalmi says his name is actually David. The Gemara there, in this discussion, has a very important comment, which in fact does affect us, and that is, Gemara, at one point, when just trying to describe what is the name, what is the characters of the Mashiach, the Gemara says, well, if he's from the living, then it's so-and-so. And if he's from the dead, then it's so-and-so, right? Gives two possibilities of the way to describe who the Mashiach is. What does the Gemara mean by that? So Rashi has two possibilities. One answer that Rashi suggests is that, well, there's a possibility that the Mashiach is somebody who would be alive at the time. And the second possibility is that God will bring back someone from the dead. And that person could also be the Mashiach. The second possibility, which is the more readily accepted opinion, which is the majority opinion, is no. The Gemara is saying, help us describe who the Mashiach is. So it says, you know, among the living, I would suggest for this person, if you have to look to somebody among the dead to say, that person has the characters of what it takes to be Mashiach, that is to suggest Daniel. So Rashi explains that, you know, Daniel was a very righteous person. Daniel had some suffering in his life. He was thrown into the lion's den. So therefore, that's why it's not suggesting that Daniel is the Mashiach, but rather it's a suggestion that if you wanted to look at somebody in history and say, this person, you know, is the type of person that the Mashiach could be, then you look at Daniel. Now, obviously, this is a practical issue because there are people out there who believe that somebody who's dead is actually the Mashiach. And their argument is that, well, Rashi says it's a possibility, right? According to the first reading of Rashi, that's exactly what the Gemara says. What's the problem with this? The problem, I think, goes to is not a Gemara, but it's a story. Not much of a storyteller yet, generally, but the story involves a rabbi in a train, like so many stories do, right? Half stories that we have are rabbis in trains. The other ones are kings who throw princes out of the palace. That's the basically, if you need to know all the stories in Judaism, you can break it down into that. So this is happens to be a rabbi on a train. I think they tell the story about the one of, I think maybe it was Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim Brisker happened to be traveling on a train, as he was wont to do, I guess, and the fella and the missionary came on. And the missionary was trying to sell him that, you know, you should accept the salvation of the Lord. And Reb Chaim said to him, well, I'm sorry, but I actually believe that Bar Kochva was the Mashiach. The guy said, what? He said, yeah, I believe Bar Kochva was the Mashiach. What's wrong with that? He said, well, didn't the Rambam say that Bar Kochva was killed in the Battle of Beitar, and therefore, you know, he couldn't be the Mashiach? So that's a good point. Tell me about your guy. Right, so the problem is, in the event that you tell me that the fact that somebody died does not take them out of the running from being Mashiach, well, there are a lot of other possibilities that we're open to at that point, right? Why do I need Mashiach ben David? I can get David himself. Right? Why do I need to, I can get Moshe Rabbeinu to come back and do a curtain call. Once we're bringing people back, right, it really makes much more of an issue than it solves. So this story from Reb Chaim is a very sharp way of putting it, but you really open yourself theoretically, not practically, to a wide range of possibilities. So therefore, the general assumption is that the Mashiach is somebody who is alive at this point. It's interesting. A lot of people know this saying, but they don't know where it comes from. The Chasam Sofer was the one in his Tshuvas who introduces the idea that every single generation has a potential Mashiach. That there's somebody alive today, right now, who in fact can be the Mashiach. If only the generation would be worthy, then he would get the tap on the shoulder. The person probably doesn't know who he is. And God would say, surprise, I got good news and better news. The good news is Mashiach is coming. And the better news is he's wearing your pants right now. Right? So that would be the announcement that would be made. Yes.
Your volume on. I just had a text from Michelle that you can't hear it.
No one has done anything, but can she hear me now? Some people can't hear. If people can't hear, can you please let me know? I assume that Menachem Ruin would have let me know. Yeah. So there's a better chance that there's a house on the corner of Jersey and Cedar that doesn't have its volume on. if I had to take a wild guess. Everybody, incidentally, you did not miss a question that was related to the shiur. Yep. The sound is fine, I have here. Good. Okay. I hope by her as well. So the Chasam Sofer introduces this idea that every generation has a Mashiach waiting in the wings. And only if we would be worthy, then the Mashiach would be able to step forward and we would enter Yemos HaMashiach. It is obvious, based on this Chasam Sofer as well, that the Mashiach has to be someone lit. In the event that you didn't need this Mashiach to be alive, we wouldn't have to march in a new one in every generation. But obviously, if the Mashiach could come from the dead, well, then that would be fine. We would just pick one Mashiach, and he could be alive, he could be dead, it wouldn't make a difference, and they could go on happily ever after. The Rambam writes a fair amount about the Mashiach in the last two prakim in the Mishnah Torah, in Perek Yud Aleph and Yud Beis in Hilchos Malachim. But he also has separately what's called the Igeret Teiman. Back in the mid to late 12th century, the Jews of Yemen were dealing with a fellow who claimed to be Mashiach. And they wrote a letter to the Rambam asking, should we be taking this guy seriously or not? The answer obviously was no, but the Rambam took the opportunity to describe what the Mashiach will be when he comes. He goes forward and he says, in fact, that he's not going to be anything special. He's not going to be someone who's well-known. He's not going to be somebody who's sitting on the dais at the Aguda convention. He's not going to be someone who's honored at the YU Hanukkah dinner. This is going to be a regular person who's going to go about his own business. And, you know, we will not realize what a great person it is until all of a sudden, surprise, we have a Mashiach. When it comes to figuring out who the Mashiach is, we have some insight into the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, at least. The reason I say, and Rabbi Akiva, as you know, was perhaps definitely one of the greatest chachamim we've ever had. And Rabbi Akiva actually picked the Mashiach. Right? The Yerushalmi tells us that at the time of the great revolt of Bar Kokhba, so Rabbi Akiva made it clear that he thought that Bar Kokhba was the Mashiach. Now, the Rishalmi also tells us that not everybody agreed with him, right? It gives the opinion of Yonah son Ben Tortoi, who turned around and said to him, and he said it even in harsher words than this, he says, Akiva, you're going to be pushing daisies and Mashiach still won't have come. And he's saying that, in fact, this is not the right guy. But clearly, Rabbi Akiva thought that this person, Bar Kokhba, who was a great leader, etc., had what it took to be the Mashiach. It's interesting. We have no indication whatsoever that Bar Kokhba was a great Talmud Chacham. Right? His strength was more of a physical strength than a spiritual strength, and that did not bother Rabbi Akiva at all. Interesting. There are some other people who it would seem had the possibility throughout history. Right? We know, for example, Shimshon, the Midrashim talk about, was a potential Mashiach. Chizkiyahu HaMelech, right, had he only sang Shira. You know, there are different people out there who were in the running. Now, interesting question. So what happens to me, I'll just note, I just read today online that the Metropolitan Museum of Art is reopening as part of phase four. If you go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, it's a little bit of a tangent, but a little bit related, you'll note that they have the Bar Kokhba coins there, and you could see them. It's very interesting. On the back of one of the well-known Bar Kokhba coins, he has the Dalet Minim. And if you look at the Dalet Minim, he has a Lulav, an Esrog, a Hadas, and a Arava. And the question is, wait a second, why are you being cheaper on the Hadasim and the Aravas? Why shouldn't there be three Hadasim and two Aravas? So if you look at the Gemara in Sukkah, the opinion of Rabbi Akiva is that you have one Hadas and one Arava. And being that Bar Kokhba was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, he followed the opinions of Rabbi Akiva, and therefore the Bar Kokhba coins look strange to us, but they actually are following the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. You can go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art and actually see these coins that follow that Shita in the Gemara. So the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah, similar to what he said in the Igeret Teiman, he said, in order to be Mashiach, you don't have to walk on water. Not a direct quote. Right? You don't have to, but directly, you don't have to bring back the dead. But you don't have to do any miracles. But rather, the Rambam explains that the Melech HaMashiach is going to be somebody who's going to check the boxes. He's going to be a leader. He's going to lead Bnei Yisrael in battle very successfully. What?
That was Bar Kokhba. He was a political leader.
Right. Not in battle, right? But he's also going to have a great Kirov movement. He's going to bring people back. Could be. That's a possibility. You know, that's definitely all right.
Could be that he was the person in his generation who got the
book. Could be yes, could be no, right? It's an academic question at this point, right? So, you know, he's going to, and the Rambam writes that if a person does this, they are Bechezkas Mashiach, meaning that there is a strong possibility. And then, if he leads everyone back to Eretz Yisrael and builds the Beis HaMikdash, then that's that. Then he's for sure Mashiach. Right? So there's Becheskas Mashiach, and then we paskin that he's Mashiach. Right? Obviously, no one has yet led us back to Eretz Yisrael and rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam is very clear, as you would expect from the Rambam, that this is not miraculous. This is a very natural order of progression of things, and we'll discuss a little bit more about that next week. But that's the Rambam's opinion. The Ravid takes on the Rambam right there and then says, well, wait a second, we read the Psukim. The Psukim said that he has this miraculous ability to paskin with his nose. Right? He says, lo, not with his ears, not with his eyes. And in fact, if you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Sanhedrin said, what was the end of Bar Kokhba? The end of Bar Kokhba was, he claimed to be Mashiach. They said, okay, so paskin based on your nose. And he was unsuccessful. And therefore he was killed by the Chachamim as a false Messiah. So the Ravid says to the Rambam, how exactly do you expect me to believe that he doesn't have to do anything miraculous if the ultimate downfall of Bar Kokhba was his inability to do something miraculous? The Kesef Mishnah on the spot defends the Rambam and says, yes, that's what our Gemara says, but however, the Yerushalmi and the Medrash has a very different ending. The Yerushalmi and the Medrash have an ending that we're used to, right? They have a little bit of a longer story that people might not be familiar with. It says that he was a nephew of Rabbi Elazar HaModai, and eventually he killed Rabbi Elazar HaModai wrongfully. And based on that, he was captured and killed in battle. So the Rambam clearly was following the Yerushalmi and the Medrash, which indicates that his death had nothing to do with his inability, but rather it has to do with the fact that he died in battle, right? Much like the missionary told Reb Chaim on the train. So in fact, this is a machlokas in general of whether the Mashiach is going to be some supernatural being that could do all these unbelievable acts, or it'll just be a normal progression of a really great leader who will come across. It's interesting, the Lecha Mishnah says, yeah, but you know, if you have a machlokas between on the one hand the Bavli and the other hand the Yerushalmi and the Medrash, you probably follow the Bavli in general. So the suggestion that he has is the word Mariach Vidain isn't that he smelled, but the word Mariach comes from the word Rechayim, a millstone, meaning that the Mashiach is not to be somebody who's carrying the pressures of the nation on his back. And he just wasn't doing that. He wasn't Mariach Vadayin. He wasn't feeling the pressure and going forward and acting on it. Well, that's another way of taking it. Interesting, the idea I often say that some of the poskim of our generation, and oftentimes when you go to them with a shayla, you can see that it's what I call paskin with their nose. They have an idea from the get-go, this should be mutter, or this should not be mutter. And based on that, you know, they approach the shayla in a different way. So Mariach Vidayin, he paskins with the nose, that could also mean, I always thought, that somehow or another he has this sixth sense. he has a feel as to how things should be, and that's perhaps what it means. But in general, we have this machlokas here, and this is an important machlokas. It's a machlokas of, is the Mashiach somewhat miraculous or not? The Gemara actually deals with this, and the Gemara gives the good answer of everybody's right. The Gemara talks about the fact that in Yeshaya, it says, when is the Mashiach going to come? Be'ita achishena. It will come in its time. I will bring it speedily. The Gemara says, wait a second. If it's early, it's not on time. If it's on time, it's not early. So what does it mean, be'ita achishena? Correct. What? Yeah, I can say early is also not on time. Ask Agi. So what does it mean, be'ita? The Gemara says, zachin be'ita, in the event. So what? Lo zachin be'ita, right. Zachin be'achishena. What does that mean? It means as follows, that there is a date. We don't know what the date is. But that is the, shall we say, drop-dead date, that Mashiach has to come by that date. Period. Whether we deserve it, whether we don't deserve it, we have a tradition, it's supposed to be before the year 6000. Question how strong that tradition is. But there is a date out there, and by that date, Mashiach. However, in the event that we deserve it, it'll come earlier. Very nice, they say in the name of the Chafetz Chaim, they say, wait a second, let's compare our generation to previous generations, right? Look at the generations of the Chofetz Chaim. Look at the generations, you know, going back of the Rishonim, go back to the most of the days of the Gemara. Right? Goes that none of them ever deserved it. Why would we think that our generation has any chance whatsoever? So basically, let's say, so what the Chofetz Chaim says is, let's say the magical year is the year 5800. So he says, for the Rishonim to bring it, they'd have to bring it, the Mashiach, 900 years early. You know how much of a zechus you need? Now, it's only 20 years early. That's what he says. Even though we might not be as great as the other generations, still, we don't have as much work to do. So because of that, so he says, this idea of, if we be'ita, right, in the event that we deserve it, right? In the event that we don't deserve it, it'll come when it comes. In the event we do deserve it, achishena, it'll come earlier. So the Gemara explains pretty straight out that, in fact, there are different descriptions of the Mashiach in the Nach. Well known is the description of an ani rochev al chamor, right? Like a poor man riding on a donkey, you know. Right? It's a very slow process. It's not very exciting whatsoever. And the other, if you read in Daniel, it sounds like the 4th of July fireworks done by the Garucci brothers. Right? It's an amazing thing. So the Gemara says, it depends. Zolcha, if you deserve it, you're going to get the whole thing. If not, Achishan will be normal. We discussed last week the idea of whether the Beis HaMikdash will come down pre-built miraculously, or are we going to have to build it brick by brick? So there are opinions that say, same answer. If we are Zolcha and it's Achishana, then it'll be miraculous. It'll be overnight, the whole thing. If it's the normal process, so you're going to have to get the permits. You're going to have to go brick by brick, and you have to build it as is. So that is the idea. And so the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, in fact, says the same thing here. Is the Mashiach going to be a regular natural progress? Or is it going to be supernatural? Depends. It could be either way, depending if it's Be'ita or Achishana. What else do we know about the Mashiach? So there are a few comments we have here and there. The Rambam, the Gerat Teiman, says he will be a Navi, almost as great as Moshe. Let's make this almost as great as Moshe. Almost as great as Moshe means that the Rambam is of the opinion, it's when the Yigdal Ikari Emuna, we say it in Yigdal, Kombi Yisrael Kemoshe Od, right? Nobody was like Moshe, right? And there's a reason why the Rambam has to hold that. So because of that, he says, Mashiach's not going to be like Moshe, right? The reason why you can't have someone come along and say, I'm the Messiah, I'm greater than Moshe, therefore I'm changing the Torah. But he's going to approach Moshe. The Sefer Yikarim thinks maybe he could do a little bit better than that even. The Sefer Yikarim, however, says clearly that he's going to be the greatest Kira personality ever. Right? No one will bring back people to God the way that the Mashiach will. The Tanchuma makes it very clear. He says that the Mashiach is going to be greater than the Avos, greater than Avram, greater than Yitzchak, greater than Yaakov. And in fact, if you also look in the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, it says that the Mashiach is going to be smarter than Shlomo HaMelech. So, no pressure, but we need a guy who's smarter than Solomon, a Navi of the same quality as Moshe, right? Somebody who's the greatest Kirub professional we've ever seen, you know, greater than the Avos. It's a pretty high bar to get over. But we believe that soon enough we'll get to meet the guy. One last point. There's an interesting question that someone sends into Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. It's published in his first volume of Tshuvas. Mashiach walks in the door tomorrow. What bracha do you make? Is there a bracha?
Shalom Aleichem Rabbi Amoraim.
Siman Tov Mazel Tov Yeran Kol Yisrael Amen. Right? So what do you do? So he said, actually, he's of the opinion that there are four brachas we're going to make when Mashiach. We should have this on the tip of our tongues. One is the bracha Chacham Harazim. What's the bracha Chacham Harazim? Chacham Harazim is the bracha you make when you see 600,000 Jews in one place. So he said, obviously when the Mashiach comes, the entire Klal Yisrael will get together. So we'll be able to make the bracha Chacham Harazim. We can make the bracha on having 600,000 Jews in one place. Next is Shacholik Me Chachmasal Yireyev. When you see a Jew that's very bright, that's a bracha you make. And also, when you see a king, a Jewish king, you say Chok Me Kvodal Yireyev. The show asks, the reason for this question is, can we combine the two together? If you have someone who's a king and very smart, like the Mashiach, can you say Shacholik Me Chachmasal Ume Kvodal Yireyev? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman thinks not. You're going to make two different brachas, one for his wisdom and one for his leadership. And then there's a fourth bracha. What's the fourth bracha we're going to make? Shehechianu, right. You're going to make a Shehechianu as well. So I think even for Ashkenazim, I think we can be makel that in the event that Mashiach shows up during the 3 weeks, I'm willing to go out on a ledge and paskin that, in fact, we are allowed to make a Shehechianu for the Mashiach. Right, I think that that's without a question. I mean, I think I would imagine Mashiach comes. It says in Zechariah that so maha revi so maha mishi v'shomat shvi so maha asiri, that all the fast days will be called yom tovim. Right, so I assume Mashiach comes. Shivas b'tamuz is a yomtiv, and I assume that Tisha B'Av is a yomtiv. I assume the 3 weeks you can make a shechianu at that point. So it's not such a great kula. I think that would be allowed. Hopefully before next week, you can tell me if I got these right. Thank you.